Today's podcast is brought to you by Behind the Tech with Kevin Scott, available on all major podcast platforms. Paul, they were this close. They were closer than the length of a cicada to announcing what I won. So close.
You mean Apple.
Yes. So close.
What was it you wanted Apple to announce?
So they came out and they said, hey, FaceTime. Your friends can now join you from the web and Android. Just click a link, join the party. I'm like, it's coming.
Like, here it comes.
Here it comes. iMessage on the web. It's coming. It's going to be a part of this. And I just sat there and just waited. And
so, So I thought the same thing. But, you know, I also feel like I'm getting a handle on Apple's whole schedule. And messages on the web is something that they will introduce a year or two from now, you know, like that's the way they do things.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, same thing. The other one that was like that, by the way, is they started talking about xCloud, I guess, or xCloud on the, whatever that was called. Xcode.
I was like,
sorry. They have so many similar words, you know, iCloud, you know.
Yep.
And I thought, here we go. Mm-hmm. This is a nonsense way for them to get around the hump, which I think regulators could be looking at, where you have to buy a Mac to develop for this platform and it's one of the barriers to entry, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, well, this offers some kind of a web thing. And I'm like, wow, that's impressive. And that's not what that is. Although they did add, you see, the Swift Playgrounds can create actual apps that you can post into the App Store. That's worth looking at. That's interesting.
Yeah, so they announced a bunch of stuff. They announced, really, not many surprises. I mean, obviously, iOS 15, the next Mac OS called Monterey, updates to Apple Watch, some other stuff along the way, a bunch of code updates.
This was kind of a minor set of announcements in some ways, and I don't mean that in a negative way, kind of an overview, but to me, the interesting overarching thing that happened yesterday was the number of features or changes or whatever that were announced across the platforms, right?
Yeah.
The sharing stuff is going everywhere. The live text, which is kind of like a Microsoft Lens or Office Lens or Google Lens or whatever you want to call it, type functionality is pretty much going everywhere. There is such a thing. I mean, moving their platforms forward at the same time with the same features where it makes sense, I think is the right thing to do and is something we don't see in Microsoft. You know, they'll introduce a new Microsoft 365 feature only on iOS or only on Excel for the web or, only, you know, and it's like, guys, it's just, why wouldn't you put it everywhere? You know, and then sometimes, you know, a year, 2 years goes by and you're like, how come that thing that was on the web never came to the desktop version or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. We don't know. So
yeah.
I think, sorry to keep going on and on, but I think part of the problem with yesterday was that there were rumors of new hardware, you know, M1X maybe or M2 type stuff. And, and you know, whatever, those are rumors. I mean, but I think that would have been the big excitement, right? This, you know, the keynote has nothing to do with the show. It's like the weirdest, well, except for the last 5 or 7 minutes.
Yeah.
But I think you could make a pretty good case that, you know, new MacBook Pros or higher end iMacs or whatever these things will be would be good for, are the things that developers are waiting for, right? When you want developers to adopt the M whatever platform, I mean, some will just do it because they're enthusiasts, but really what they're looking for is an actual replacement for that 16-inch MacBook Pro or whatever they're using. And, you know, I guess that's not ready yet, so.
Or they just want to have a separate event because they're like, hey, look, this thing, they sketched it out and said, look, this thing's already 2.5 hours long.
Was it that long?
It was long. Was it?
Yeah, no, yeah. I don't remember. It screwed me. I actually had forgotten about it. And we ate lunch a little later than usual and I walked in at like 1:06, you know, and I got on Twitter and I was like, oh, right, that's today. Like, I literally zoned on it that badly. But yeah, and then I was getting ready to post something or send something in for the newsletter and delayed it like an hour and 15 minutes because I couldn't focus. But it's funny. I don't remember it being that long. But okay. Well, there you go. I mean, same Apple presentation. You know, they do a good job. I guess Craig Federighi, whatever his name is, he's starting to wear on me a little bit. I you know, the joke phone call, like, I'm just kidding. And it's like, God, you know, Steve Jobs did that like 10 years ago, dude. What are you doing? Like, I just, and really did it. Actually, you could hear the person on the other end of the phone. Anyway, am I boring you, Brad? You're looking at the time.
A little bit. Yeah. I'm trying to do a 2-factor auth and it's not working.
But you have an Apple Watch. Everything's supposed to be magic.
The problem is I'm using Apple and Microsoft, which is always my downfall. Nope. Request timed out.
Yeah. Actually, and by the way, that's the thing I'm deciding whether I should even write, which is, I don't know how other people are. I find myself easily swayed by the next big thing.
Oh, easily. Right? Oh, yes. Easily.
Very easily. So... Google will have an event and I'm like, I'm going all in, baby. Yep. This is all I want. This is fantastic. And then Apple has an event. You're like, oh my God, I have to change everything. You know? And it's like, I'm deliberately wait to write anything and maybe won't because that's dumb, you know? But I will say, I mean, and people have been pointing this out lately in the comments, you know, as more and more people kind of head in this direction, you know, Apple has always had a very cohesive cross-platform strategy. We can disagree with, you know, how they do things that not bringing touch to the Mac, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. But, you know, Jerry Purnell, this is probably dates back 20 years or more, had once observed, and it's so true today as well, that Apple either, and at the time he meant only the Mac, right? When he said this, Mac was their only thing. You know, it either does it and it does it really well, or they just ignore it, you know? And that is what Apple is kind of all about. And you see a couple of announcements here that kind of close the gap. Like the notification stuff is very close to what's already available in Android. And there are some other Android bits in there where they, you know, live text or whatever, same thing. I mean, this is stuff that's been available elsewhere for years. But as they kind of close the circle on things and they get it all right, you know, iOS 14 was like this, you know, the widgets and you can hide apps from the home screen finally. And you're like, oh my God, like it's like they're answering my complaints. Not for me. I mean, for everyone, right. You know, because these are complaints everyone has, but it's like the blockers that prevent me from even thinking about this platform or various platforms start to fall away. And you're like, oh my God, what if, you know, but then you got to sit on it, you know, yeah. Sorry.
The one thing they did announce, which is probably the most Apple of Apple things, I think. And it's not necessarily new technology, but you'll see where I'm going with this. It's the thing where you take your iPad and you just place it next to your Mac.
Yes.
And then the mouse just works. Like you just swipe and you can now use your mouse on the Mac.
And you can drag and drop content.
Yep.
I mean, this is a perfect example. This is perfect. And the reason it's perfect is that's amazing.
Yeah.
And it's hard to sit there and watch that and not be like, holy crap. Like, that is so cool.
Yep.
But then realistically, I also think, I don't ever need that. Like, I would never use it. I would never use it. That doesn't solve a problem for me at all, you know? And that is, you said it perfectly. You said this is the most Apple announcement of all time or whatever. Exactly right. This Apple created an ecosystem where they have different devices with different capabilities. They refuse to let an iPad be a proper laptop. They refuse to let a Mac be a proper touch-based device that runs mobile apps. So they created this situation in which they have two things that are completely different and should not both exist. And then they're like, well, look, now you can interop between them. And you're like, oh my God, that's amazing. But it only has to exist because you created this system that's so dumb. And it's peak Apple. It's wonderful and it's terrible because you created the reason we need this in the first place.
The thing I thought when I saw this is like, now they're just positioning the iPad as a second monitor. And that's how they're going to sell more of them. Because it's like, hey, if you have a MacBook Pro and you want to buy an external monitor, now you can just buy an iPad and look, it just works.
Well, I mean, maybe we should think about that from the flip side. Because I think that I could be wrong about this. I mean, I feel like their iPad is maybe more, there are more of these out in the world, but now as I say that, I'm not actually sure. But the iPad obviously is very popular. This could sell Macs, right? And I do feel, I've said this for a long time, this is why, you know, Chromebooks are so such a big thing. Most people do their day-to-day stuff on a phone, you know, but every once in a while you need that bigger thing, right? So you as an iPad user, you might be like, look, I could get a keyboard cover in it, but it's like, you know, maybe this sells Macs, you know, you're going to, like, I'm going all in on this thing. I'm going to have an iPhone, obviously, a watch, an iPad and a Mac. I mean, I'll do the whole, I'm going to hit it's not even a trifecta, whatever that's called. But,
That's actually just the noise of their stock price going up.
Yes. Yeah. So I don't know what to say. I at the end of the day, this is very, I will go over it. I don't know if I'm going to write this, but I feel like this is like the M1. Like it's interesting. And if you're in that world, there's some advances going on here and that's very good for you. But for people outside of that world, it's like, well, I don't know. I'm not really sure this changes the equation so much, you know?
No, but it's for people who have both, who are just whatever, gonna buy them. And it's a neat, it's neat. It's mouse without borders with copy and paste and fluid functionality.
No, it literally is incredible. And you could make a great case for needing that on the same platform. Why can't you do that next to another Mac? I mean, what if you have a desktop Mac and a laptop and you want to, you know, and I guess this stuff built into the platform, you don't have to worry about that kind of thing, but you know, obviously if you're saving everything to iCloud, this stuff is all synced and your documents are everywhere, blah, 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 whatever. But I don't know. It's interesting. And, you know, Apple, speaking to the slowness at which Apple does things, and you were talking earlier about messages on the web happening, you know, they introduced, I forget what the name of it is, app folders or whatever, that all apps thing over to the side of the iPhone. You know, that came to the iPad this year. It's like, guys. And, you know, they introduced widgets last year, but then they made widgets that actually make sense on the iPad this year. And that's how they kind of do things. It's like it's kind of a slow boil, you know?
Yeah, you're kind of a slow boil.
That's true.
Oh, I was trying to do a nice segue, but it didn't work. Because something else you should slowly boil into your podcast feed, actually you should add it immediately, is the Behind the Tech podcast with Kevin Scott. This week we are highlighting the episode with David Baker where they're influencing protein design and research. It is a very cool and in-depth topic, something that if you listen to this podcast, there's a pretty good chance you're going to like this one too, because it's by Kevin Scott, the Chief Technology Officer over at Microsoft, and there is an impressive back catalog that you should definitely check out because there is a lot going on. You can find that on all major podcast platforms. That is Behind the Tech with Kevin Scott. There was something else that was going on at WWDC and I totally just blanked on it because
Well, I mean, you know, like the watch stuff was fairly obvious. Yeah. The TV stuff, you know, like whatever.
They made a big deal about their spatial audio coming to everything now. Oh, I can't believe it. What I forgot. I don't even know.
Yeah. Their audio message is a little confusing, and and it will remain confusing for years because only slowly over time will they adapt products to support the newer stuff. But, you know, they have spatial audio, and then they have two levels of lossless.
Yeah.
And then they have like 37 different audio hardware products that support some mixture of those things. And, you know, it's very strange. Like they talked about things like, you know, it's so obvious. You can put two HomePod minis next to your screen, your TV, and have stereo audio from your Apple TV. Duh. You could also put a Mac there and use it as an AirPlay speaker. And it's like, I don't think they said this exactly, but if the thought that went through my brain is I could buy two MacBook Pros, position them on either side of the TV, and use those speakers as a stereo pair for watching an Apple TV. And that's ludicrous, but I'm pretty sure you could do it.
Yep.
And then, you know, but if you want the best audio experience coming out of the, well, not the best, but if you want a really good audio experience coming out of the Apple TV, buy those $550 Apple, whatever they're called, AirPods. What are they called? The big things.
AirPod Max.
And then you get Dolby Atmos. You know what else will? You know what I mean? I mean, you can do that. I guess you can. I'm sure they support a family of five, each with their own pair of headsets, enjoying their perfectly centered immersive audio experience, you know? for the low, low cost of, what is that, added to $600 or $6,000, whatever, or no, $3,000, yeah, whatever it is.
Yeah, it's just water under the financial bridge or something like that. The other thing, too, that Paul, I mentioned to this, Paul, sort of privately while this was all going on. So we had Apple do their big thing, and they announced their new OS.
Yeah.
June 24th, Microsoft is going to announce their next generation of Windows. It will be interesting and hopefully not sad to compare them, how Apple positions and talks about features and things coming to the OS versus what Microsoft is going to do, and see how those kind of mesh or don't.
And I've never written this, but it occurs to me that one of the things we should expect and demand from this next generation Windows, whatever it's called, right, even if it's just called Windows 10 again, is for Microsoft to fix the enduring problems that it created with Windows 10, right? The ads that are everywhere in the operating system, the crapware that it bundles that it said years ago it was going to get rid of, you know, the Microsoft Store problem, which, you know, we think is going to be addressed in some capacity. But also like the privacy stuff where you can't turn off telemetry, the Windows as a service stuff where they can't reliably deliver an actual feature update to this platform ever. It's so bad that for the past year and a half or 2 years, whatever it's been, we have not gotten a proper feature update. There are fundamental things I think that need to be fixed. The user interface stuff, I've been a big proponent of that kind of stuff, dating back to like the plus packs where everyone's like, oh, this is silly. I'm going to pay $40 for a box full of icons and mouse cursors and stuff. And it's like, guys, you don't have to buy it, but these changes are important for people. They help personalize, make the system yours. And in this case with the Sun Valley, make it just better looking. That's all important, but I think we should not lose sight of the fact that I don't know if they're foundational problems, but there are more fundamental problems with Windows than how it looks, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I hope they address that stuff. That's actually kind of a big deal. We can point to macOS Big Sur from last year as the target for what it should look like. And I know some people will disagree with that, but as far as it being a, you know, professional attractive upgrade from the existing UI, but I think these other issues are a much bigger deal. I wonder if they will address that, you know?
I personally don't think they will. I think this is going to be much more of a top level update to it, which reminded me of what I forgot about before, Paul.
What's that?
Safari. They made some big UI changes to Safari on, talk about top level updates, with Monterey and on mobile. They're really collapsing it down. They're kind of just getting rid of window Chrome, sort of. And I'll be curious to see if that UI sticks around for any number of generations, or two, if the rest of the industry copies what they've created.
Because you just reminded me, I saw a complaint. Well, you know, not a complaint, but like the way people are about these kinds of things. Mm-hmm. Like they were saying that some of the integrations, or some of the UI or whatever, some of the, you know, I'm in the wrong browser. You know, we're available in Chrome specifically already. And I was curious if that was the case, but now, see, I don't have multiple tabs. So for example, the ability to swipe at the bottom of the screen between tabs, that's that's pretty cool. And yes, Chrome does do that. By the way, Edge does not do that. Why does Edge not do that? It should do that anyway. So that's interesting. But I thought the tab UI was very interesting. I got some complaints last week when Mozilla did a very similar looking tab, and they were like, "Oh, it doesn't even look like tabs." It's like, well, why does it have to look like, why does it look like something from the real world? I mean, anyway, I like that look. I like the integration of the address bar, you know, with the way you can get to it. I liked how the UI hides as you start to scroll. I like the ability to switch between them like that. To me, in many ways, that was the most overtly positive thing that they announced. And the one thing, and again, I've had this has happened to me many times over the years where I'm like, man, you got rid of this thing on Windows. Like, you could get people to use this browser. Like, it's beautiful, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's too bad.
It is too bad. It is too bad. It'll also be too bad if you don't check out Behind the Tech with Kevin Scott. We'll be back tomorrow with more stuff. Really well done, rehearsed.